But we do just take one more moment as we go to your word to ask, Lord God, for your anointing upon it. That, Lord God, that at the end of service today, that you would accomplish much in the Christmas plays. You accomplish much in our board. That you would accomplish much in every conversation that we have outside of this church as we enter and leave different places today. And Lord God, the only thing they see is Jesus Christ in us. And Lord God, that your anointing would be upon each and every one of us. Fill us to overflowing, Lord God, with your love and your direction and your strength and your guidance. And Lord God, as we take a moment to look at your word today, would our hearts be open and ready to receive it as we begin this Advent season. May you each day in the next 4 weeks, Lord God, fill us, show us, direct us, guide us, love us into a deeper relationship with you. And may others that we come in contact with be able to see it and experience it. In Jesus' name, amen. If you would turn to Isaiah chapter 59 and Mark chapter 13. Those are the two verses this morning that we're going to be looking at as I begin what Advent series that I'm calling Long Expected Jesus. It is the 4 weeks of before Christmas, the Advent time, and we're actually taking that time, and Advent is designed to slow us down, prepare our hearts for Christmas, and allow us to experience God in a fresh and new way. How many would like that this morning? How many would say that that's their prayer this morning, that in the midst of crazy, that we would experience God fresh and new and creative in a way like never before? There's nothing wrong with buying presents. There's nothing wrong with the food prep and the family gatherings and everything that's associated with the Christmas season. But if we forget Jesus, we've missed Christmas. We've missed every part of it. You can't celebrate Christmas properly and neglect Jesus Christ. I read a book not too long ago. It really, sometimes some books just grab me, and I remember them for a long time. And one of them, it was a book called Remarkable Ordinary. And that caught my attention just by the title of the book, Remarkable Ordinary. It's written by Kevin Buchner, and his whole theme, his whole ideas that he tried to share through this book was to slow us down and not have us miss the everyday things that can be extraordinary. And basically he wanted you to stop, look, and listen. He wanted you to stop for a moment and see things that you would miss when you have a lack of time. Say amen to that. When you're rushing through things, he wanted you to be able to stop and look and see some of the things that you wouldn't see when you're rushing. Sunsets, sunrises, God moments, those times where we've all said it. How can somebody not believe there's a God when you're looking at a flower, or you're looking at the sunrise, or you're looking at something that there's no explanation except God did it? He's saying, stop a moment and see these things. And then looking at things that you would miss if you would just glance at it. And that, you know, those would be the things like a praying mantis on a tree. You know, when you're everyday hustle and bustle, you'd never see that. And some of those things that when you're listening and there's so much noise, how many sometimes just enjoy quiet? It doesn't have to, nothing has to be done or said. You just relish that moment where you can sit in complete quiet. And it's almost a blessing. And what he's saying, that sometimes you need to go past all those crazy noises that distract us sometimes so that you could hear a bird sing, so that you could hear a clock ticking in a quiet moment. You know, the other day I was praying and when I stopped, that thought came to my mind, and I remembered the book, and I'm thinking, because I could hear my clock in my office tick, tick, tick. But in every day I've walked past it 1,000 times and you don't hear it. But when you take the time to listen. And what I'm telling you this morning, and why I said this, the book's great, you want to get it, read it. But what I want to tell you is that's what Advent is designed to do for us. It's designed to stop and have us look and listen and experience the things that God wants us to see. And you have to decide whether that's what you want to see happen. Because if you just get caught up in everything that usually happens, you will get on December 26th and you'll say, man, I missed it. Or I didn't take the time. Or I wish I would have done this or did that. You have to decide, and you have to take the time and the energy and the ability to just purpose to let that happen to you. And with the Lord's help, I believe you can. And my question this morning is, what do you say? Are you up for an adventure? Are you up to see what God would want to do in your quiet time? Are you up to see what God wants to show you by just maybe slowing down just a moment and giving Him permission to do what He wants to do? Amen? The three thoughts that I have for the Advent season, the three besides the play, is Jesus is coming, Jesus is Lord, and Jesus is the light in our darkness. And I love the song selection this morning. It was fantastic. It fit right in everything that is being said. And the long-expected Jesus can change our lives. And that's not one of those just cliches that you throw out. Jesus can change your life. He loves you. All of these things. I'm telling you that Jesus Christ can change your life like you've never, ever experienced before. If it's the first time, He's got something for you. If it's been a long time, He's got something for you. If you've been a Christian for forever and a day, He's got something for you if you'll let Him. So this morning we're going to look at Jesus is coming, and then over 700 years ago, Isaiah recorded the words that a Redeemer was coming. So 700 years before Jesus Christ physically walked this earth, God had a plan. So if you look at Isaiah 59, I just want to look at two verses, and then we're going to end up in Mark for the last part of the sermon. But if you look at Isaiah 59, verses 19 and 20, it says this: "From the west people will fear the name of the Lord, and from the rising of the sun they will revere His glory, for He will come like a pent-up flood that the breath of the Lord drives along. The Redeemer will come to Zion, to those in Jacob who repent of their sins." Isaiah is telling us in Acts 29, we also see it in the New Testament, Peter says this, he says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise belongs to you and to your children and to all who are far off, to all whom the Lord our God will call to Himself." That includes you and I. Say amen to that this morning. That includes you and I. We're at the time of this writing, we were the far off. And now He's telling us that the Redeemer is coming, that the God had a plan for which He prophesied and recorded that a Redeemer is coming. And if we took the time to look at basically the whole tail end of Isaiah, we would see that the Redeemer coming would be a witness, Isaiah 55. The Redeemer coming would provide salvation, Isaiah 59. The Redeemer coming would be an intercessor between God and man, Isaiah 59. That the Redeemer coming would be and fall fresh on each one of us, the Spirit of God falling on us. Isaiah 61, that the Redeemer coming would provide freedom from sin and death. Isaiah 61, the Redeemer coming would provide a time of grace. Amen. Aren't you glad? The time of grace. Isaiah 61, the Redeemer coming would be resurrected by God. Isaiah 55. And that each one of these things has been fulfilled in the Redeemer, and the Redeemer's name is Jesus Christ. Each one of these things has come to pass. For the nation of Israel and the prophet Isaiah, it was anticipation of a Redeemer coming. It was being prepared for a Redeemer to come, and it would be to welcome him in. And the excitement of the Redeemer coming, the fulfillment of the promise of God, the recognition of knowing him when he arrived. And here's the thing. Isaiah wrote all of these things, and he never saw the Redeemer come. He never saw him. In all of his life, he waited, but he never saw it. He patiently waited with anticipation. For him, Jesus would be the hope to Israel. For us, on this side of the cross, he's the hope not only for Israel, but for all that would desire salvation and forgiveness. And we lit the first candle is hope. And here's the thing that I like about hope. Hope is putting yourself into something that you trust in. Amen? And when we lose hope, what happens? What you put your hope in, you either have put your hope into something that you trusted and it failed, or you lose faith that it will happen. And I think what happens today is so many people are close to having God do some amazing things in their life, but they lose trust that God will complete and do what he says because it's not in their timetable. Even though Isaiah never saw the Redeemer come, he never lost that faith. He understood that it wasn't his time, and he understood that it was God's timing. He understood that no matter what, he was going to live, breathe, and die his faith. And the fact did not change because he didn't see it happen, because he knew it wasn't his timing. It would be God's timing. We have all kinds of proof that Jesus lived, died, and was resurrected. We have proof of that. We have, at his resurrected, he promised to come back. And he promised that he would redeem us. So here we are, 2,000 plus years later, waiting for our Redeemer to come. And it's almost like a reversal. The difference is we don't have to wonder if the Redeemer will do what he promised to do, because we're on the other side of the cross. We know he's already accomplished it. We don't have to figure out what he needs to do. We already know what he needs to do, what he's done, and we're going to live and wait with anticipation and dedication and obedience so that we're ready for his return. Say amen. We sensed his presence as we're singing all these songs about being redeemed and God coming. We sense his presence. You know what I'm learning? The longer I pastor, you want to talk about the Holy Spirit, God will come. Oh, almost lit the word on fire. That's funny, because in a minute you'll understand what I'm going to say. It wasn't planned, trust me. Yeah. But do you understand that the biblical hope is our foundation? Biblical hope is our foundation. This is not hope. I didn't study my test, but I hope I pass and get the right grade. That's not biblical hope. Because biblical hope is not based upon chance. It's not based upon the mood of somebody else to give you a better grade than you deserve. The biblical hope is a foundation that's put on Jesus Christ. Romans 15, 13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Here's the great thing about God. He takes your hope and increases it. Do you see what I'm saying? That's how good God is. He takes our little bit of hope, and if we'll give them that, if we'll trust in Him, He'll take that little bit of hope and overflow it with more hope. So the more hope you want, the more you should trust Jesus. And you begin to see that He works these things out in our life. God brings more hope. God brings and takes away. God brings more hope at the same time and takes away wishy-washy, boy, if only kind of hope that we have. God is a certainty. God is doing what He said He will do. Preparation and anticipation are probably the two hardest things because it involves waiting. And we hate to wait. Say amen to that. There are some that do it well. There are some of those that can prepare well and are ready, and they have everything organized, and they're knee-deep, and everything's at their fingertip, and they're able to handle it. And then there are some procrastinators, those that wait to the very last minute, those that have every intention of doing something, but it never seems to be the right time. Preparation can at times get to be a point and a form of laziness because we let so much time go by, we lose faith that it will really happen. Forever would be a really long time for something that you didn't do in a timely manner. Can you say amen to that? Forever would be a long time. The army had the attitude of hurry up and wait. And if anybody's going to wait, it's not going to be the army. It's going to be you. You get there and you wait. And then you have some of the old timers, which would be my generation's grandparents and great grandparents that told hellfire and brimstone messages that scared you into believing that Jesus could come at any moment. And part of their ministry and part of their enthusiasm and part of their anticipation, they basically were saying, if you do anything wrong and Jesus would come, you wouldn't make it. I don't care if you serve the Lord 50 years, but if He would come at the moment that you're doing something that's not right, that would be called sin, you wouldn't make it. And what we've done is we've said that's not acceptable, even though Jesus tells us to be ready, even though Jesus tells us that we need to be right. We've come up with the idea that that's unacceptable. So what we've done is developed that what we're going to believe is that Jesus understands all of our weaknesses, that Jesus needs to know that we live a good life, that we're a good person. And we almost create that almost everyone will make heaven if they want to. And no one really has to sacrifice for Christ to make it. And I think we have to be careful. We have to be careful. We have to be careful, and I believe in mercy and grace. And I believe God is good. And I believe that God goes and is the only one that will judge our hearts. Say amen to that. He will be the only one that will judge our heart. He is the only one that will know our heart. But we have to be careful because only Jesus saves. Only Jesus will judge. But then we also have to be careful that our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. It's not built on our accomplishments. It's not built on who we are born to. It's not built on our goodness. Because all of that will fall in front of a holy God as filthy rags. So I'm thankful for grace. And I read this illustration. It's actually out of a devotional for Advent time. And he's talking, the writer is talking about a science fair. And some of us that are a little bit older, we remember those science fairs. I don't know if they do them now or not. But those were projects that took months and months to do, and you were to be ready, and you know, you anticipated that, and the teacher talked about it and gave you everything that you needed to do it, and you were supposed to get with other people, and whatever your science project was, you know, other students were invited and all of that. And you were given the guidelines, the instructions, you were given the due dates and everything you needed to prepare it. And what this devotional takes a moment to say is that on the night before the fair, he decided he was going to do his project. And he said he turned in a project. He said, but as he was looking at all the other projects, he said it wasn't really hard for anyone to see that his project only took him that the night before, because he showed up with something that was haphazard and thrown together, and when it was put by someone and a group of someones that took their time to do it right, it didn't measure up. And he goes on, he says, the reason my presentation at the science fair was underwhelming had nothing to do with my lack of knowledge surrounding the assignment, expectations, and deadlines. I had all the information, I had all the resources, and the support that I needed. I simply chose to not be prepared. I simply chose. We have a choice this morning. We can take the advice of that author, and we can stop, look, and listen and take the time to see what God wants to show us so that we don't miss the things that are important in our spiritual life as well as our everyday life, and we make sure that we're ready for the Lord to return. We won't have any excuses to stand before God telling Him that we're not ready. We're not going to be able to say we didn't know. And here's where it gets kind of crazy, because this isn't usually an Advent verse, but if you would turn to Mark chapter 13, I want to just read verses 24 to 36, and I think the Lord's good because I'm starting to feel that heat there now, and so I'm guessing that I was pretty close a few times. God is good. Starting at verse 24. But in those days following that distress, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, people will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory, and He will send His angels and gather His elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of the heavens. Now learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that it's near, right at the door. Truly, I tell you, this generation certainly won't pass until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. But about that hour or that day, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard. Be alert. You do not know what time he will come. It's like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each with assigned task, and tells the one at the door to keep watch. And he gives us instructions here. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight or when the rooster crows or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch. If you look in your Bible, these are Jesus' word, red letter. It's a warning to the disciples. It's a warning to us to be ready. The best way to prepare for his return is to follow his instructions. Amen? Is to not put off things that are important with an attitude of one day, I'll take care of it. There will come a day. That's a fact, Jack. I love that term. It's a fact that Jesus Christ will return again but nobody knows the time. When people say I have figured out when Jesus will come, I just want to say, you idiot. I that's saying it nicely, because if Jesus Christ doesn't know, how can they know? And then what it reminds me here is, as we prepare for the Lord's return, we can't try to whip something together like the guy that tried to do the science fair at the last minute. We got to be prepared. We got to take instructions. We got to take the guidelines. We got to be and do what we need to do. Being focused takes the focus off of us and puts it back on the perspective of Jesus Christ coming. And I'm going to close with this idea for a moment, that we have an opportunity as a church, as individuals, to regain our faith in the fact that Jesus one day will return. I know the world beats us up, but it doesn't change the fact. It doesn't change the fact that Jesus will one day come back, get his church, get his bride. What he calls the apple of our eye, we have an opportunity to be ready. We have an opportunity to have a heart of expectation. And here's the thing, and some will agree and some won't, but here, I'm throwing this out this morning. We live in an information age. Almost any information you want is at your fingertip. And I realize that if you want it to, as I'm preaching, somebody has an app that's going to say whether I'm in context or not. And that's okay. I'm all right with that. But here's what I'm saying, that also can be a problem at times. Because here's the thing. You can't always believe what you read on Facebook. You can't always believe the video you even visually see on YouTube. And what happens, and I see it with people that message, I see it in some of the emails that are sent, I see all these different things. All the information that's out there, you still need to do verification. Do you hear me this morning? You still need to do verification. And if it doesn't line up with God's word, it's junk. I don't care who has what education. If he says he knows when Jesus Christ is coming back, you can tell him I said he's an idiot. And I mean that. Because it's not only hypocritical, it's heresy. Verify. They have websites that can verify some of the things that you're reading. And they you say, well, I heard such and such. Well, just there's Snipes or Snopes or however you pronounce it, is one that most of the time will tell you, you're an idiot for believing that. Don't believe that. But we send an email like it was true. We send it out like it was true. I'm telling you this morning, information age is great. I love it. Education is great. I love it. But verify. This is true. Let man be a liar. Do you understand me? We don't have to understand all to know that God's word is true. Even if you don't understand it all, it's still true. If you burnt every Bible, that's what I was telling you before. If you burnt every Bible, it still would be truth, even if there wasn't one left. We have to be careful. We can't believe everything that's down the pike. In a few weeks, we're going to celebrate Christ, our Savior, coming. But it's all remembrance because he's already done it. And I love the little video skit. Jesus ain't no baby anymore. He is our Redeemer. He has done everything that we need. And when we celebrate, we can celebrate with excitement, enthusiasm. And this morning, as you just take time to thank him one day, he will return. That's a promise. And his church needs to be ready. Amen. Father, we just thank you for your goodness this morning. And as we just begin now to go into Advent, Lord God, not only did Isaiah prophesy that you would come, you did come. Not only did the prophet say there would be a redeemer, but you did redeem. By your life, death, and resurrection, you did redeem. And then, Lord God, even when you walked this earth, you went back and promised the Holy Spirit to each believer to empower them to live the life that you wanted them to live. See, we can't do it in ourselves. We need you. And again, you made a promise to us that you will return. And that's what we hold on to. That's our truth. That's our guidance. That's our strength. That no matter how bad it gets here, Lord God, your promise of being our Redeemer, your promise of splitting that sky is a fact that we can live, die, and live every day in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.